And but it's great to have you in the house of the Lord today as we come to not only worship and give God praise and come to fellowship together, but we come to hear from God. Amen? We come to hear from God. And that God loves to speak to us. He loves to speak to us through His Word. He loves to speak to us through times together. And sometimes He'll speak to you as all of a sudden you're beginning to worship God and your eye just gets caught to the right or to the left and you just see someone and they're either broken before the Lord or they're just pressing into God and something inside of you bears witness with it. And all of a sudden it's like, yes, something just lifts up and that's God in that reaching into your heart to say, hey, I know you. I know every thought you have. I know when you sit and you stand. I know everything about you. I've got you in the palm of my hand, and I will not leave you, and I will not leave you where you are. Amen? It's okay not to be okay. It's just not okay to stay that way. Amen? And that God says from glory to glory, He's going to grow us and develop us. And then we fall, and He picks us back up, and from glory to glory. We don't go all the way back to start again like Monopoly and you have to start all over again. No, He picks you up where you are and He says, come on, dust you off. And He says, come on, let's go again. Let's go again. God already knows every time you're going to fall. You're not taking Him by surprise. He knows our weaknesses. So why are we hiding from Him? Why are we holding back from Him? You see, Jesus said in His Word, He says, whom the Son sets free is
free.
But yet many of us are so bound by the fear of man. We're so bound by tradition, so bound by other things, and that hurts, pains of their past, and that's bound by so much stuff that it's really hard for us that even when we want to do right, we want to do what we ought to do, we can't do it because we're so bound. And that God wants to remind us and that just really how free we are. That even though we might feel like we're in the prison, all we have to do is kick the door open and walk out because Jesus took the keys of death and hell. He took the keys for every door that would ever be locked on your life. It doesn't matter what someone has spoken over you. It doesn't matter what you have done, whether it's someone did to you or you did to yourself. It doesn't matter. If you will come to the Lord and you will confess before Him and you open your heart to Him, He says, hey, He says, I'm not only going to forgive you, I'm not going to remember it anymore. So when you come back to God over that, well, God, you know what I did yesterday? He's like, what are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, but God, you know, and we play this whole story over with Him again and again. He's just like, I don't know what you're talking about. See, the more we get to know our Father, the more we get to know who we are. There's a lot of focus on getting to know ourselves in the world that we live in. Me, myself, and I. Got to take care of myself. I got to look after myself. I got to get what I need. I need to make sure that this is rolling that. But in the Word of God, it flips it the other way. And He says, if we get Him, we get everything. That's where our focus comes to. Is our focus is to be on Him. This morning, I want to start in that over the next few weeks. And that I know we're coming into Christmas, so I'm going to as best I can, and then I'll put brakes on and we'll talk about Christmas and that because it's important. But in that part is the desire in my heart and the heart of the leadership here of Rockcliffe is to see every single person that would call Rockcliffe their home free. Walking, hearing God, moving with God, and that even when we step on each other's toes, because it will happen, that we're light and we're free. Amen? Is that not a good thing? Now, that's what we want. Not only for your life, but guess what? I'm going to play a little selfish. I want it for my life. I don't want to have baggage in my past that all of a sudden when my wife and I are trying to do something and all of a sudden I'm like kicking something back at her because of something from before. I want to be free. And Jesus promised I would be. And is He a liar? No. So how do we walk through this? How do we learn this? How do we move through this? And so that's what I want to talk about this morning, especially around the word forgiveness, which is a tough one. So in your bulletin, you should have a yellow piece of paper. If you don't have one, if you put your hand up, then I'm sure the ushers or someone in the back will help me out a little bit. Does anyone need one of these yellow pages? You're either sharing with someone or not. Is anyone not have one that's close right next to them? Anyone need it? Got one here. Thank you, Ron. Anyone else? Okay. So you can hang on to that. We're going to come into that in just a few moments here. But I want to start by just talking about a Greek word name that was called, a Greek word, sozo. And that sozo really means saved, healed, and delivered. You see, when God, and that saves us, washes us white as snow, redeems us from our past, picks us up from the miry clay and sets us on a rock to stay. It's not just about getting a ticket to heaven. It's not just about salvation as in, okay, I'm done, I can check that off and move. No, he wants you whole. Body, mind, soul, and spirit. He wants the complete package of you. There's no sense when you're super hungry going to McDonald's and just getting a drink or just getting fries. You might as well get the full meal deal and be satisfied. Well, I don't think you're satisfied ever at McDonald's. But anyways, you know what I mean. And God is saying, why are we cheapening out? He says, my banqueting table is full. Stop going for the crumbs off the floor. Just pull a seat up. Pull a seat up. Yeah, you're going to have conversation with me, he says. But pull a seat up and sup with me. Fellowship with me. Spend time with me. See, that's really what he's talking about and he's moving in. There's three parts that we're made up of. We're made up of body, soul, and spirit. Now, soul breaks down as our emotions, our will, and our mind. But in those three parts, the Bible tells us that we're broken down. Sozo deals with two parts of that. That's the soul and the spirit. That's what we want to deal with and we want to walk through. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, my God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May you, your whole spirit, your whole soul, your whole body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, the body's complexity, we have to acknowledge. Our bodies are really intricate and detailed. And I need to pause on this and I need to address something that through church history has been horribly destructive on people. And that because the body is so complex and we don't understand lots of it, and that then in ignorance we blame everything on the devil. As if the devil is everywhere at once. As if he's a mini God. He's not. Not at all. In fact, I don't even know if the devil has ever tried to tempt or taunt or come after me, little old Phil. Well, maybe his little minions have. But he can't be everywhere at once. He doesn't know your thoughts. The Bible is very clear on this. He was created. God is the creator. God knows everything. He is all-powerful, all-knowing, and that omniscient. He is everything, the breather of life into us. And the devil was created, and he doesn't know your thoughts. He doesn't know where you are. And so we have to understand that the body is complexities must be acknowledged as sometimes issues are a result of our soul and our spirit. Pause for a moment. Medically proven, doctors will tell you, if you allow a lot of stress, your stress is going to hit what? Your soul, your emotions, your will, and your mind stressing out. It can cause a physical reaction into your heart to cause you to have problems. Correct? We know that, right? And that there are things that the enemy will poke through weaknesses in our soul and our spirit to cause us to do dumb things or to cause us and that to have physical issues and problems. So that is true. But on the flip side of that, sometimes The issues that we're facing with are just simply a medical issue and nothing more. In church history for many, many centuries, if someone had any type of mental illness, it had to be demonic. They were outcasts. Well, reality is that's not necessarily true. Could it be true? Yes. But is it true? No. It's not automatic to turn around and say, oh, I've got arthritis in my fingers, therefore, I've got to have a root of bitterness inside of me. Hello? Could it be true? Yes. Is it true? No. Just because you have arthritis in your fingers does not mean you have bitterness in your heart. Just because you struggle with something in your physical body doesn't mean you've sinned somewhere and some former generation or someone has passed a curse on you and therefore you're stuck with what you have. Every problem in our life is simply this. Rearrange it from calling it a problem and call it a different word. And this is the word I want you to catch. It's an opportunity for God's glory to shine. It's an opportunity for my God to be made large in my body, in my mind, my soul, and my spirit. God, just come and you be made large. Bigger than my problem, bigger than the focus I have or the things around me, would you come and be made large? It's an opportunity. Listen to Isaiah 9, verse 6. We know it familiar, either King James, NIV, or other stuff, but I want to read it first in the Message Bible first. It says, his names will be Amazing Counselor, Strong God, Eternal Father, Prince of Wholeness. His ruling authority will grow, and there'll be no limits to the wholeness he brings. Or in the NIV, it says, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and the government is upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace. Do you know him? Like, this is where everything starts. Do you know him? Because if we don't really know him, we just know about him, or we knew him, but he's now like over there and we're over here, we've got to reset ourselves back to that point. It's like when I have conversations with someone and they're questioning God, questioning the Bible and everything, I'll come back to the very first question I'll ask them is, do you believe this is the Word of God? Inspired by God, given to you and to me, do you believe that? Because if they don't believe that, then now it's just human arguments. We're not even on the same page. And that's why the Bible says, don't get in foolish debates. Amen? And that, so same as not only the Word of God, but we got to come back is understanding the fact of just who he is. Do you know him? There's a lot of people that grown up around Christianity and grown into it and just kind of, they morph into it. They just kind of flow with it because that's the thing to do. And we're here as a leadership to put a pause on some things. Hey, let's just stop and breathe for a moment. You don't have to perform. You don't have to do anything. Let's just stop for a moment. Let's just get to know him again. Because I'm going to tell you, if we want to see God's presence here at the church, corporately, it's got to be in here, individually. Amen? It's not that all of a sudden, if we just strike or we just get into this building, everything's going to make it happen. No, it starts in here. And as it's here, it will be here. Amen? If we're at peace inside of us, the Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your body, your soul, your spirit. Love him with everything. And then it says, love your neighbor as, if you don't love yourself, so it'd be pretty miserable in here trying to be around this many people. And then it's going to be pretty hard to love God right. And so God wants to bring some healing on being able to love yourself. He wants to bring in some truth and to break some lies. And so as we open up our hearts over these next few weeks, this is what I feel God really wants to do in our heart. And I am so excited for what he wants to do in my life and in your life as we journey and we walk together. Sozo, the Greek word, is used 110 times in the New Testament. The original word in that means to save, to make well, or whole. According to the Strong's Greek dictionary in the New Testament, sozo also means to save, deliver, heal, and persevere. The writers in the New Testament showed the completeness of the word sozo by using it in different contexts to refer to each aspect of salvation. Salvation is much more than a ticket to heaven. Amen? So here are some examples. Romans 10, 9. It says, because if you confess with your mouth. I had a tooth pulled there a little while ago, and so my tongue plays in that little area where that tooth is gone, and that's not healthy at all. So let me try again. Romans 10, 9. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be sozo. You will be saved. There's one reference. And then in Luke 19, 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and sozo the lost. Seek and save the lost. Amen? So not only for salvation do we see it, but we see it in healing. But Jesus turned and seeing her said, daughter, take courage. Your faith has made you well, or sozo. Matthew 9:22. Your faith has healed you, is another version, the NIV. Then we see it also when he talks about deliverance. In Luke 8:36, it says, and those who have seen it reported to them how the man who was demon-possessed was made well, or was made sozo, in Luke 8:36, or cured in the NIV, or NET says he was healed. See, our aim and mission here as Rockland Pentecostal Church leadership team, and that is that we just really believe life is too hard on our own. It's just too hard on our own. That we are better together. Amen? And as we believe that, then we come to three basic words that we try as a leadership team to keep us focused on and keep us moving in. And the first one is to restore. And that we make the difference by bringing a sense of beginning. And that Jesus restores us right at the very beginning to a right relationship with him. No matter how much we want to do together, that's our glue that holds us. Amen? It's that finished work on the cross and what Christ did. That's what glues us together. Not because we all like something. Oh, I like this. I like the style of this. I don't like this. I like this, or whatever, whatever, whatever. But it's Jesus. He's the glue that holds us together. We're people who are in process of finding who we are in Christ by the guidance and revelation of Holy Spirit in the Word of God. The ministry of reconciliation is all about restoring relationships into proper position with God and each other. It's okay not to be okay, it's just not okay to stay that way. Because God has so much more for you. That's why we want to help restore every person, body, mind, soul, and spirit, into freedom and joy, and into new life that is found in Christ. Not only is it restoring, but it's about relating. And that relating, we make a difference by bringing a sense of belonging. And that Lisa took a step today, and well, not today, it was a little bit ago she took the step, but today it's acknowledged out loud, and that to say, hey, I just want you to know I'm in. This is where God's called me to be, so I just want to publicly say that this is my church. And in that part is again, anyone can come to Rockcliffe. No matter who you are, anyone can come to Rockcliffe. Anyone can enjoy our services and be a part of what God is doing. And there's opportunities for people to get involved in and that idea. But as a member, and that there's something more to that. As a member, we're making an outward acknowledgement that Christ is leading us. And this is where he's led us to be here at Rockcliffe. So we want to come and join to help, like I say in a different way is, I want to patch holes in the boat, not put more holes in it. Amen? And as members, that's what we do. We commit to each other. We commit to that part is, hey, I'm gonna believe the best in people around me. And if I hear something different, I'm just going to go to them and say, hey, is this real? No? Oh, okay, no worries. But I'm going to believe the best in those around me. I'm going to speak the best of those around me. I'm going to partner and I'm going to be on board together. You know what? Hey, I just want to see the church grow. I want to see us make a difference. So therefore, I know we're better together. So if we all pool our money together, we can make a difference in missions, in our community, better than if we all did it by ourselves. And then on that part is, probably the biggest part, is that I need you in my life. And you need the person next to you in your life. And I don't mean just your spouse. Yes, you need them. But I'm talking about the people next to you. We need each other because we easily can be led astray. We easily can be put out. We easily can get into a rut and into a rhythm and that we just are coasting. And we need people to poke us a little. We need people to draw us a little. We need people to embrace us. We need that spurring on. Because we can get stuck pretty quick. It doesn't matter how great we think we are. And that everyone can get stuck. The Word of God shows us that example after example after example. No one is exempt. In that you're human, you can get stuck. And so in that part is as we learn to relate to each other and belong. And that 1 Corinthians 12 tells us that we are many parts, but we make up one body. All are important. All have their place here at Rockcliffe. It doesn't matter your age, your gender, or color. We are all family in Christ. Galatians 3:28. We must relate first to God, second with our own family, and third with the body of Christ. Our one purpose, one heart, one God. How? Through fellowshipping, praying together, reaching the lost, worshiping together, growing together, serving together, through hearing God's word together. In short, we celebrate each other and build the kingdom of God together. We are better together. Not only restoring and relating and that, but releasing. As a pastor, I would fail. I would fail as a pastor if I try and do everything. Now, there's seasons that sometimes God gets me to blaze a trail out front. I remember when my kids were young, we were in Sulakot, and I'm telling you, snow here is nothing like Sulakot. I was told when I came, oh my goodness, Phil, it's going to be terrible weather, terrible snow. And I don't know, maybe God's just blessed us to have great weather because I've come. I don't know. But I remember it was so deep. And that at times we built a little we built a little rink on the lake, and that to go down, that we would go through the snow, and it would literally be up to here on me. Poor little Abby, or a little head you'd see, just a little bobbing of her head through. And so, you know, I would start to walk, and then Isaiah and Abby, with Hannah, would just be leaping and jumping and that through the snow to get to the place, so excited. And then I'd have to pause at times and I'd have to backtrack because Abby got stuck and couldn't move. I'd back right up in front of her boots and then I'd start shuffling. Have you ever done that to help someone before? To blaze a trail. So there's times as a pastor, that's what I have to do. There's times I just have to, I stop at what I'm doing, even though some are like, let's go, let's go. And I stop, I back up, and then I get in front of it and I just start blazing a trail. Why? We don't want anyone left behind, right? And that's what we're trying to do. But in that part is I didn't pick her up. And then I just blazed a trail and she kept trugging her through. And that part, why? Because I wanted her to be able to grow. And if I do it for her all the time, she's not going to be able to think that she could do it. Even when she's big enough to do it, she's going to get stuck. And so there's times in our walk with God and move with God that God says we need to release. We need to help. We need to let go so that people can grab a hold of what he wants to do. So releasing, and that we make a difference by bringing a sense of becoming the man and woman of God that he's called you to be. Oh, and he has called you that. And he declares that over you. Sometimes we lose sight of it, but that's what he says. And that we are marked and set apart by God to do his work on earth, of which we cannot accomplish a thing without the Holy Spirit's help. Zechariah 4:6 says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty." The word states, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Not so that we can say, look at me, I got it. No, he gives us the spiritual gifts so we can help each other. Because God doesn't want anyone stuck. But I'll be honest, without a word of knowledge sometimes, man, we can be pretty dark inside, can we not? Then a brother or sister comes along and all of a sudden God gives us a word of knowledge and you're like, what the heck? How did you even know that? I didn't. God just told me this and I was to come to you and speak it into your life. And that's what the prophets used to do of old. God's called you and I to do the same. And that, but we can't do that without getting before the throne and hearing God and moving with his gifts. That everyone has a gift to release. Our heart is to release hope-filled people into their God-given purpose. Jesus said in John 14:12-14, that we will do what he did in even greater things. Heal the sick, raise the dead. That's why we are excited about God and the good things he's doing on earth and love that we get to be a part of it. God's doing some incredible things. And that, by the thousands, people are giving their hearts to the Lord in places that it's life and death. It's life and death. And yet they're still doing it. Why? Because it can't be religious and just something to do. They're doing it because he's alive and he's real and Jesus is revealing himself to them. And there's the Spirit of God is coming upon them. And they're like, wow, he's real. So they're willing to risk death. They're willing to risk and that excommunication from family and everything else. Why? Not because someone said, oh, you should do this. It's a cool thing to do. Got nothing better to do on a Sunday morning. No. But they're risking everything because they've met with him. Have you met with him today? When's the last time you met with him? Not just opened your word. Anyone can open up the Bible and read it. But when did you meet with him when you opened your word? When did you meet with him and that not only crying out, but that as you pause and all of a sudden you meet with him when you begin to pray. God is stirring and he's moving and he's wanting us to grow close to him. He's wanting to restore, to relate, and to release. Number one, he wants us to love people. Two, to connect to people, to the Godhead in a more intimate way. Holy Spirit is not a forgotten God. He is alive and well and he is at work and he is doing incredible things around this earth right now. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they are one, but they are three separate entities that reveal themselves to us, Jesus, God, and Holy Spirit. To see people set free, healed from past wounds, strongholds broken, lies replaced with truth, and doors being closed to the enemy. That's what God wants to see happen in your life and in my life. So there's a need for forgiveness. And that we all fall short of the glory of God. We fall short in representing him. And that Romans 3:23 lets us know that. As perfect as we try to be and as everything we try, we all fall short of the glory of God. But it's Jesus, and that when we focus on what we do and where we are, we get ourselves in muck all the time. And that's why he keeps telling us, look higher, look higher, look higher. Where does your help come from? Is it going to be your own strength and ability, or is it from me? Look higher, and as you look higher, all of a sudden you see that robe that's clothed on you in righteousness, and you see that ring upon you that gives you authority, and that as you step forward, that there's no weapon formed against you shall prosper. It's only when we get focused off of Christ, onto ourselves or someone else, that we start playing in the mud. And God wants us free from that. He wants us to be lifted up. We have an enemy that also, not only do we play in the mud, but we have an enemy that is out to rob us, kill, and destroy people and relationships. If you believe in God, then you need to understand there is a devil. If you believe in angels, you got to understand there are demons. And if you struggle with that, please come and see me, and I'll show you in Scripture over and over and over and over and over again where the Bible talks about that. We are in a spiritual battle around us. Now, we got to understand, look a little higher, look a little higher, look a little higher. When you get focused on Christ, He conquered death and hell. He's conquered the enemy. He's conquered everything. And He's given you authority to walk and overcome. Jesus says, I overcame, and therefore you can overcome. Amen? Jesus has come to give you and I life abundant, life to the full. Wholeness. Hurts lead to wounds, which require forgiveness. A lie planted develops a root, which requires renouncing a lie and embracing a truth. So many things in our lives get left undone because we just don't understand there's spiritual battles around us. The enemy, let me pause. I'm going to pause for a moment here. If you love Jesus and you've opened your heart to Him, you didn't get baby Jesus. You didn't get portion of Holy Spirit. You got the full Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you, the great I am. Created, breathed everything, and that from nothing, conquered death and hell, took leprosy and made it nothing, raised the dead, everything, all inside of you. Inside of you. Not afar off that you've got to go and catch and try to get. He's right. Wow, that was awesome. Right here. Oh, that was like great sound effects. Great adding that sound effects in there for me, Jeff. Appreciate it. But He's right here. Everything you need is found inside of Him. And He is right here. In order to be free, and or another phrase that I heard it once put is, we need to get past our past. We need to get past our past. Because too many of us, our past are dictating every day ahead. Something said something. Some traumatic moment happened. Something else went in our life. We got to get past our past or we'll never be able to embrace today. We're never going to see His goodness and His fullness. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed, John 8:32. So here's the key to forgiveness. Forgiveness, if you want to write down a couple things, this is probably a good time to write down. Sorry I didn't do any PowerPoint today. Forgiveness, number one, is 100% spiritual. You need to listen to me on this, because we need to break some lies right now. Forgiveness is 100% spiritual. And that's why God said, you must forgive. It's a spiritual act coming from a spiritual being. You've been born again, no longer of the flesh, but now of the... And therefore, you must act from the Spirit. That's why we can turn the other cheek. That's why we can go through life and we can conquer and walk on top of everything because we're now stepping out from the Spirit side instead of resorting to the flesh and what we can do or what others can do for us. It's 100% spiritual, dealt with by spiritual tools. Number two, forgiveness is a free gift. Released first from God, Ephesians 2:8, then by us to others. So, let me pause. Let me just rephrase a couple things on that. It's a free gift. It's not free. Not free at all. Because there's nothing in life that is free. It cost Jesus everything when he died on that cross so that you could be forgiven, I could be forgiven, or that we could receive the gift of forgiveness so we can hand it off to someone else. It's 100% spiritual that we tie it back to here on the cross. What Christ did for us, we grab a hold of that forgiveness. He gives us that package of forgiveness because my flesh screams and wars out. The Bible says our spirit and flesh war. Why? I was wronged. I have a right to get back at that person. Arr! And Jesus says, well, easy now. Reset yourself back to the spirit. What did I do for you? When you were at your worst. We must remember it's a spiritual thing. Number three, it's not a feeling. It's not a feeling. It's a spiritual gift. Number four, forgiveness is a decision. It's that spiritual act that we take. It's a decision that I am going to do it God's way. I'm going to trust in Him, even if it doesn't make sense to me. Whether you deserve forgiveness or not, I'm not the judge and jury. I'm to give forgiveness. Amen? We've moved ourselves sometimes to be God, and I'm so glad I'm not God. Because anyone that didn't like the color yellow wouldn't get to heaven. Just my favorite color. I'm just saying it out loud. It's even on my paper. I love yellow so much here. I'm so glad none of us are God. But He gives us the package of forgiveness that we cannot release. We have to release it. We cannot hold it back. Number five, forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation. Reconciliation is a settlement, a compromise, an appeasement, or an understanding. Forgiveness is a spiritual act that we give with no strings attached. No strings attached. Did Jesus give any strings attached when he gave you forgiveness? No. It's a spiritual act, and we are not to cloud it with any strings attached to it. It's not the same as reconciliation. Reconciliation only can come after the spiritual act of forgiveness has been made. Otherwise, we're just compromising with flesh and we're just moving ourselves from one problem to another problem. And that's why he says we must understand. Listen, you need to understand as long as you don't forgive, you're poisoning yourself. Hating someone who has hurt you is like taking poison and hoping they will die. Don't make any sense, does it? It's me being mad at someone who has hurt me, yet the other person has moved on. They don't even know that I'm hurting or care that I'm hurting. And the only one that is stuck and hurting is me. They've moved on. It's pointless. We got to understand, okay, I've been hurt. It wasn't right. It wasn't good, whatever it was. But if I continue to hate that person or hold that against that person, I'm simply just letting them hurt me over and over again. You'll end up giving control to your life to someone. Jesus challenges us. It needs to be Him. We got to give control to Him. And the only way to give control to Him is to cut off the things from our yesterday. And all those moments where we feel we have a right because they did us wrong, but then by His grace and His mercy, we apply forgiveness to them and we give control to Jesus. God, I don't understand it. It wasn't right, but just like Jesus on the cross, as He was on the cross, there's Roman soldiers, Pharisees, and others around. He turned around and says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I know there's a great debate around there. especially if we try to move forgiveness into the flesh side. But we got to understand forgiveness, biblical forgiveness, is not a fleshly thing. Jesus never appeals to our flesh. He appeals to our spirit and says, tell your flesh, smarten up. Like King David, why are you downcast, O my soul? Smarten up. Focus up on him. Wake up. And we've got to come back to the place of understanding and that we cannot give control to someone else. If you have your yellow sheet with you, well, then I just start with one side. We'll come to the next side next week. Biblical forgiveness. If you look at the biblical forgiveness side for a moment. I took some time just to try and put something down on paper so you had something in your hand and that as we walk through. So in there, it walks through some scenarios. If the offender is seeking forgiveness, right? If an offender is seeking forgiveness and that God still, you know, even if the victimless offense, in other words, you didn't really do it towards someone, right? It was kind of, you know, general kind of thing you did. You got to understand every sin that you and I do first hurts and hits God. Second to the person that's in front of me. First to God, second to man. The Bible tells us everything we do it unto the... Right? Good, bad, and ugly. And that by confessing, one needs to seek God's forgiveness. We ask God to forgive us. Listen, let me pause for a moment. Does he need, I'm so hurting. Oh, I can't do anything until Phil comes and says he's sorry. God doesn't need my forgiveness. Not at all. But I need it. I need it. I need to remember and remind myself of what he's done for me. And as an act of me coming to and asking forgiveness of him, he reminds me and lifts my head a little higher to what he's done for me. He says, yeah, I forgave that one on the cross, Phil. Now walk free. Go and sin no more. And he reminds us of coming back into the place, and that's why we come to the Lord and we ask him for forgiveness. And that forgiveness from the viewpoint of a victim or when the offender does not repent. How do you handle that? Listen to me. Everything inside of us screams, this is crazy, this is ludicrous, and I'm not doing it. They deserve it, and they deserve everything that comes their way. If we waited for our emotions and our flesh to line up to what the Word of God tells us to do, you can wait your whole entire life, and some people do. Some people go with a hatchet in their back to the grave. Some people go with chains all bound around them to the grave because they would not embrace the ways of God. And the ways of God are spiritual, not physical, not fleshly. They don't make sense. He says, I choose the foolish things to puzzle the wise. And so when we understand that, then all of a sudden we can start to apply forgiveness as he has told us to apply it and not withhold it. Freely you have been given. Freely you have received, now give to others. That's talking about forgiveness too. Not just, oh, I got blessings from God and I got this, so now I can give it out. No, that's talking even just about forgiveness and the salvation that he's given you. Now freely give that salvation to others. Go out and share it with people. Don't hold it to yourself. Freely he's given you that healing and that, oh, wow, great. But don't hold it to yourself. Go out and share that testimony with others. Be bold enough to put your hand on and say, well, I don't know. I don't know what to do, but God did something for me and he doesn't play favorites. So lay your hand on someone else and give it away. Freely you have been given, received, now freely give. It applies to every part of our spiritual life, not just to finances or something, some talent or ability. What does a victim do about forgiveness when the offender rejects or rebukes or challenges and will not change his or her mind and repent, even all the way to the third stage when it's brought towards the church? Matthew says, and that when we have an offense with a brother, we don't go run out with trumpets. We just go to our brother or sister and we talk to them. And then after we have that conversation with them, then we take someone else with us if they're not repentant to what they've done. And the other person comes with us as a witness, and then we sit and we reason with them, and we plead with them, and we talk with them to restore them and to restore a relationship. And when that doesn't work, and that then it takes it to the church body, and in that part would go to the pastor and to the board and then to the church from that direction. And that's how God says we flow and we move to restore and to build, because it's important. At this point, Jesus states, but if he or she refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. The victim now considers the unrepentant offender as a non-believer. And that part is that there's a lot of people. I mean, we'd have to be very naive to think that everyone in church today is saved. I have to be very naive on that one. And that some maybe walked in the way a long time ago, but they haven't walked with God for quite some time. Others, just on a quest and a journey. Hey, is he real? Is he not? I'm just trying to figure this out. And that's a cool place to be. But in that part, as we realize that and we walk in that part, we understand that I can't take the word of God and say, and that to an unbeliever, someone that doesn't believe in Christ, you have to do this because the Bible said. No, if they don't believe in Jesus, then following this makes no sense. It's just going to be a noose around their neck, because it's impossible to serve God. It's absolutely impossible to serve God without Holy Spirit's help, without Jesus. We absolutely need him to move into the spiritual things that God has called us to walk in. So let me end with this. And that is, we're looking at forgiveness and we're walking through forgiveness. And that some things we need to remember is, can you pray for the person? Pray for the person that's hurt you, wronged you, ticked you off, whatever it might be. Can you pray for them? That's a sure tell sign on whether you have truly spiritually forgiven or not. Many places in the Bible it says that we are to pray for our enemies. Seriously pray. But what if we don't want them blessed? They didn't mean wrong. God, I don't want to pray for them. I don't want blessings coming their way. Well, listen to me. The truth is, if you ask God to bless them and they've truly done wrong, guess what God's going to bless them with at the very first? Revelation. Right? Pray blessing over them. The hound dogs of heaven to lick their face off. Bless them, Lord. Right? But if we can't pray for them, it's a sure tell sign that you're stuck. And God wants you free. My wife liked that one. Number two. Not only pray for them, but you must embrace the truth. In order to have a right relationship with Jesus, you have to come to grips with the truth. And that Psalms 51, we see an incredible portion of Scripture. And that where David finally, after a year full of excuses, finally embraces the truth that he had sinned before God. We know this part because we used to sing it. So if you know this one, you can sing with me. Create in me clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. And renew a right spirit
within me. You getting it? God, renew a right spirit within me. Jesus got in the face and the grill of Peter after he explained to him what was going to happen, and Peter just jumps in Jesus' face and says, no way, no way I'm going to let this happen. You're not going to die. And Jesus just gets in his face and says, get thee behind me, Satan. I don't know about you, but my heart would probably stop if Jesus said that to me. Oh my goodness, I'd be chewing on my heart for at least a week. Get thee behind me, Satan. And then he comes with a clarifying part. He wasn't saying he was demonic. He says, you don't have the mind of Christ. In other words, you're thinking like a man. You're thinking like flesh. You're not thinking like a spiritual man. You're not thinking like a man of God. And he challenges us to renew a right spirit within us. That's in Psalms 51, 10 to 12. And the last thing is, we understand that, and that the feelings, they might take time. It just might take time for my flesh to catch up to my spirit. But I refuse to allow my flesh to lead me. It's led me way too much in my life. It's time that Holy Spirit has the lead. And that the spirit that he has awakened inside of me now takes the place that God has called it to take. And that we become men and women of God, of the spirit, of the truth, and of the way. It's a spiritual act. It's not an emotional act. We'll talk next week a little bit more about the captive part and the prisoner and what that means and how God will release us. But God, I just want to say thank you right now, God. God, Lord, you so want us free. God, Lord, I pray you would awaken and open all of our hearts, Lord, not just looking back at our past, but looking at today and every day forward. God, that we want to be men and women of God. And therefore, we need to walk in the Spirit. We got to embrace the truth, and we got to do it your way. Even when everything inside of me screams something different, your way leads to life. My way leads to hurt, pain, and dead ends. And so, God, Lord, I pray and thank you right now for opening ears and eyes in all of us, Lord, today. Opening our hearts, Lord. And God, Lord, I pray as you prepare our hearts, Lord, over this next little bit, to start to release people and that to start to forgive, to start to move through what you're asking us to move through. God, Lord, I pray that all it's going to do is going to help us shine brighter for you, so that everyone would look at us and they would see our good deeds and they would begin to glorify you, because they won't see us anymore. They'll just see you. That's our desire, God. I thank you for each and every one here today. I thank you you're not finished with us yet. He that began a good work will complete it. So, God, I thank you for that right now. That's our confidence, God, that even when we get down and we look at our life, we're like, God, we just look up a little higher and we say, hey, thank you, God, you're not finished with me yet. God, you don't make any junk. So, God, you're just not finished. You're going to mold and shape me. And so I'm just going to hop back on that potter's wheel again and say, God, go ahead. Here I am. Here I am, God, mold me and shape me. And Lord, if you can use anyone, here I am. Lord, I thank you for that right now. God, Lord, we also pause right now and we stretch our hands towards these boxes, Lord. Lord, they represent many kids all over the world. God, Lord, that are going to be impacted, not just with a gift, Lord, not just with something that maybe they've never had before, but God, Lord, they're going to be impacted by love. Then they're going to be impacted by your spirit, because we'll pray over these boxes and each person packing them did, and we're doing it. God, Lord, they're going to be impacted by the gospel message, Lord. God, they're going to be impacted by the local church, that they, the area they live. God, I thank you you're allowing us to partner with other churches all over the world, that it's not just about Rockcliffe. God, but Lord, you're bigger than Rockcliffe. The church is bigger than Rockcliffe. And so thank you for calling us to be a part of something larger. So Lord, we just pray blessing and favor. God, may your spirit go before and behind each one of these boxes, creating so much opportunity and so much life in each one that would receive it, that they would see that there's hope in you. And so, Lord, I thank you for that right now. Thank you, Jesus. You're revealing yourself to not only to everyone that will receive these, but to us today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.